broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Join on the lines anytime, 855-752-4842. It's going to take a while to get used to that number. Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own, 8 to 10 here in Waukesha. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
it's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl. But yeah, it's been a while, man.
Congratulations, man.
Hey, that Earl, thank you so much. Of course, want to thank you as well, man, filling in last week. I know the staff at Civic Media have filling in and doing the hard work while I was out screwing around, taking off the week. I really appreciate everyone stepping in and doing so. Earl, you're the hardest working host in radio, man.
Well, you know, man, I'm honored that the first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor. And so I'm really excited about being here, man. I am.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. It's I love talking to you, man. You bring great perspectives. We've known each other for quite some time, and I always love your perspective and what you got to say, man. And I'm struggling, man. Earl, I'm struggling. I know off last week, but I got to talk about Donald Trump. I mean, this is the guy. I mean, how do we get away from it? Love to talk about the joy of the Kamala Harris and Walz campaign, but we just got to talk about the lunacy of Donald Trump. And he was in Mosinee, last week, right? Oh, he's going to get rid of the Department of Education, put Ron Johnson in charge. We'll get to that. But I want the child care comment. Now, the question that was presented to Trump, if you win in November, can you commit to prioritizing legislation to make child care more affordable? And if so, what specific pieces of legislation would you advance? Great question, man. You know, Earl, we ask lots of questions on the radio, right? That seems like a very concise, thought-out question. But Donald Trump's answer was a little less so. Jess, working hard on the board. Nice to meet you. Pleasure. If you would please, let's play that cut.
Sure. If you win in November, can you commit to prioritizing legislation to make childcare affordable? And if so, what specific piece of legislation will you advance?
Well, I would do that, and we're sitting down. You know, I was somebody. We had Senator Marco Rubio, and my daughter Ivanka was so impactful on that issue.
Very important issue.
But I think when you talk about the kind of numbers that I'm talking about, that because look, child care
yeah, yeah.
Couldn't, you know, there's something
I mean,
you
got
have
that
to
part
have
right.
In this country, you have to have
what's
it.
Gotta happen.
You know, when you talk about those numbers compared to the kind of numbers that I'm talking about by taxing foreign nations at levels that they're not used to, but they'll get used to it very quickly. And it's not going to stop them from doing business with us, but they'll have a very substantial tax when they send product into our country. Those numbers are so much bigger than
so
any
big.
Numbers that we're talking about, including child care, that it's going to take care. We're going to have, I look forward to having no deficits
within
a fairly short period of time. Coupled with the reductions that I told you about on waste and fraud and
all
of the other things that are going on
many
in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to stay with child care. I want to stay with child care. But
stay
those numbers are small relative to the kind of economic numbers that I'm talking about, including growth, but growth also headed up by what the plan is that I just told
you
about.
Plan.
We're going to be taking in trillions of dollars.
Trillions.
As much as child care is talked about as being expensive, it's relatively speaking not very expensive compared to the kind of numbers we'll be taking in. We're going to make this into an incredible country that can afford to take care of its people, and then we'll worry about the rest of the world. Let's help other people.
Yes.
But we're going to take care of our country first. This is about America first. It's about make America great again. We have to do it because right now we're a failing nation. So we'll take care of it. Thank you.
I'm surprised they didn't give her the, hey, great question. I'm glad you asked it as well. What? I mean, even if you believe that this is about taking care of Americans first, great. How about can you commit to prioritizing legislation to make childcare affordable? And if so, what pieces of legislation would you advance?
Well, nobody's requiring that he would give an answer.
Of course. Like that. Yeah.
On the other side. And even the people who asked the questions didn't say, Mr. Trump, you didn't answer the question. Right. He danced around it. And so that's what we're going to get a lot of on tomorrow night.
Mm.
How many questions do you think he's going to actually answer?
Well, words will come out of his mouth, certainly. But there's no requirement to answer the question. And it comes down to the journalists who do the follow-up questions, right? And that's what I like to think that we do that, man. We'll do it. We get the opportunity. Absolutely. Like, yeah, but you didn't answer the question. What pieces of legislation, if this is such a priority for you, if it's make America great again and focus on American citizens first, certainly you would have a plan or an idea or some legislation that some other Republican has put forth that would address these issues. And to suggest, and I'm going to read between the lines here because he didn't really say, I'm going to tariff the hell out of the rest of the world, which and that will what increase revenues to this country so much that we're going to not have a deficit anymore and we can like use that for childcare. I guess, you know, it's a convoluted answer, certainly. Even his answer, if you say it's tariffs, that's not an answer. Hey, I'm gonna increase prices for everybody, and that's gonna pay for childcare. Because a tariff is a tax on those products, and those are generally what passed through to consumers.
So any person who says childcare is inexpensive,
relatively inexpensive,
is out of his mind. You know, the cost of childcare is more so than the rents and mortgages of some people's homes.
I heard,
if you've got more than one child, which many people do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not even, you make that call. I mean, everyone who has kids goes through this. And there was a point in my life when my wife and I had to sit down and say, okay, is it worth going to work and trading dollars? And if someone else raise your kid, well, no, if you don't have to, no, that's not worth it. Raise your own, you know, do it yourself if you can. If you can live on one income, how about that? What are you going to do to make it so we can live on one income again, Donald Trump, if this is such a priority for you? How's that going to happen?
Well, you know, that's just not an issue for Donald Trump. That's an issue for this nation. It has to accept the fact that we've gone so far off the rails that the average family can't do that anymore. They're just not making the amount of money.
The cost of child care, you know, really getting up to the cost of college, of an education. It's that expensive.
Well, when you have to pay $30,000 a year for child care, man, you got to really be making some jack.
Yeah, for real.
For one person to be able to pay $30,000 a year for child care and getting worse.
So we get into it. We talk a little bit about it, and I'd love to hear, the Republicans' legislative priorities to address the skyrocketing cost of childcare. But apparently, according to Trump, it is just about raising taxes. And there's been some discussion I've seen over the last week or so of criticism of mainstream media, Earl, sane washing, like picking the least asinine thing that Donald Trump said of a 2-minute rant and putting that in your article and acting like, hey, this is every day. This is just normal politics. These are normal times. He's a normal candidate. And this is a normal, acceptable response. I got to agree. The sane washing, Earl, to me seems like exactly that's what's happening. Now, on some other levels, though, it doesn't, you know, I think it was in the Journal Sentinel. They've been very clear. Hey, here's a rambling statement. You know, some folks are out there saying this and identifying the rambling statement and calling them out for what they are. And other seemingly, like the New York Times, perhaps, and others, Earl, are seemingly giving them a pass. You buying that?
Yeah, well, you know, the worst part about it, Dominic, is, yeah, he does. And then people say, well, what do you expect? That's Donald Trump. Now, how can that be acceptable in the media? How, of all places... Well, what are you expecting from him? That's what he does. That's what he says. I'm expecting you, the media, call him out on that.
Yes.
Indeed. Right?
Yes.
You don't give him a pass because you say, well, that's Donald Trump. What do you expect us to do? I mean, that's the way he's always been. Well, you need to make it clear to him you don't get a pass.
Right.
Right? So how can he threaten somebody on the New York Times. I mean, I understand he's been a powerful guy, and even if he becomes president, he can't do anything to the person on the New York Times or the Washington Post. Come on, man.
That late night tweet, we'll get to that as well. So much to get to, folks. You can join us, 855-752-4842. Everybody who's involved in, I will win this election, and everyone who's involved in all the cheating, well, I'm coming after you, the donors, the political types. I'm thinking, I welcome your persecution. I want to donate now just to welcome that. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? This is insanity. If it were Joe Biden, man, remember that debate?
Yeah, you know I do.
Oh, a little PTSD on that early. That was tough to watch, and people were obviously very critical, and rightfully Joe did the right thing. And the patriotic thing and step down. And he was railed for that by the left, by the right. I mean, that was not acceptable, and he was called out for it. And there were excuses, they were pushing it, but it was a topic of conversation. Donald Trump says and acts like this, says these things daily. It's an overwhelming deluge of BS. And I think to a large degree, our legacy media, they're failing us. They got to call for what it is. And if that means getting in the weeds and saying you're rambling and this is incoherent, I mean, try to find an answer in that over two minute clip. What was his answer? There was not one.
I listened to it multiple times and I just got more confused every time.
Well, so, but you, it can't be acceptable that's Donald Trump, right? That's who he is.
That's the answer.
Right. Come on, man. That can't be acceptable. And so people have to push back, you know, tomorrow in that debate, he's going to be all over the place. He's not going to answer anything. Who's going to make him? He's a bully, right? Really?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's who the man is. He's really just a bully, right? And so what do bullies do? Until somebody does what?
Well, someone rhetorically punches them back in the nose, they're going to continue to do it.
Right. It's that simplistic, right? I mean, it really is.
Yeah. Is Harris that one? Is Harris going to rhetorically punch him? I hope so.
She absolutely is.
She has to.
And he's going to turn around and say something outlandish.
Folks, the Dominic Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Earl Ingram Jr. hanging out with me. You can be a part as well. Give us a call right now. I'm about to reach in my back, bro. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open. I'm going to go there shortly. Be patient. We'll get you at 855-752-4842. Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own, 8 to 10 a.m. here at WAUK, joining me in studio. Thank you for doing so. So we played the example of Donald Trump's non-answer, and it got, obviously, it was panned by the press, and everyone's very critical. I'm not sure any of the megas had a problem with it because his polling's still within the margin of error, seemingly with Harris now and Trump, and the swing states are basically tied. But in Mosinee, man, Earl, in Mosinee, he continues to talk about the late, great Dr. Hannibal Lecter. I mean, what is going on? So a little of the reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I mean, and he continues to do this. Why, Megas, do you have any reason to think that this is coming from a sane man? I don't think so. The quote from the Journal Sentinel, here's what he said. Quote, when I say Hannibal Lecter, the press says, oh, why did he mention that? They say he rambled and started to talk about Hannibal Lecter, he said. What does that have to do with this? That's a representative of people who are coming to our country. Oh, that's what it is. So
what,
we have
Hannibal
Lecter? Oh, that's worse.
So all the migrants, you know, the illegals, Earl, Jess, they're all Hannibal Lecters. I guess.
Is that what he's referring to?
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
So, you know, the constant the migration issue, the immigration issue, obviously is going to come up again as well. My understanding, the numbers have fallen down now, and if it continues on this trend, it'll be lower than it was in Trump's. But everyone's going to say, well, because of the executive order, why didn't they do more of these things? Fair questions all. But that's the Biden administration, the Harris, not the Harris administration. You know, certainly the Republicans, in a bipartisan effort in the Senate, put forth a immigration bill, and Donald Trump told them not to act on it. He wants this as a political crutch. He wants to be able to say, hey, the Dems are letting all the fentanyl in. The Dems are letting all the Hannibal Lecters in. He doesn't want to address the issue. So the fact that he's playing politics with what, if you believe that these are, that the fentanyl is terrible, the immigration and the human trafficking, all those things are terrible things, but you're going to allow it and think it's okay because it benefits your side politically, makes me kind of think that it's really not that big of an issue. To you, to those folks, if you believe that, if you think it's okay to play politics with it, then it can't be that much of a priority.
You know, man, when they talk about immigration and they talk about the fact that there aren't enough people to work the jobs in this country and the economy is not going to be able to survive without the immigrants. I mean, you can throw that out the window all you want to, and you're missing the part of how important the immigrants are to the economy right. of this country. Come on, man.
Always and forever. Yeah. And will be. That's always the case. You know, there's a lot of my friends' kids aren't out in the cornfields, man. You know, they're not out, you know, doing the agriculture. They're not out in the meat factories. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These are jobs that are filled primarily by immigrant labor, and here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, I used to work on a dairy farm, my neighbor's dairy farm. Earl, these days, lots of that labor is immigrant labor, and a lot of that immigrant labor is not sane. They don't have the proper paperwork, but you know what? They're still hired, you know, and a lot of those folks are Republican-backed. You know, if you talk about rural Wisconsin, my assumption, and this is a general rule, at least these days, maybe not so much historically, those folks are generally conservative. So you have a Trump supporter hiring knowingly illegal, quote unquote, labor, and if the deportation, how's that going to? Oh, you know, I heard today, Tommy Lahren, Donald Trump's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's going to deport 10 million people. Well, that's not a plan. That's a statement, and it's asinine because you know what's going to all the cows in Wisconsin they're not going to get milked. They got to get milked like two or three times a day, man. It's always got to be, man. On that farm, you can't go on vacation. You can go away for the afternoon. You got to come back, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning, 6 a.m. at night. You got to milk those cows. Keep it going. Production. It doesn't stop. And when they're done, you put them out, give them a break, and you get them pregnant again, have more calves, and get them have more milk, and you keep circling it out. And that, you know, a lot of American, quote unquote, white kids these days, no one wants to do that, man.
You know, the last thing I'll say before you can go to your phone lines, Dominic, is there's stories written everywhere about minors working jobs that immigrants would normally be working in slaughterhouses and other places and working third shift and really being taken total advantage of. 26 different states, Republicans have changed the laws to make it possible for children to be working on jobs that nobody in America wants, that the businesses need to have people working, Dominic. Nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, that's a great point. We've heard from Republicans here, Glenn Grothman. A lot of people want to work 7 days a week. No, they don't, Glenn. 855-752-4842. Let's get to some callers. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Tom, and welcome to the new hour.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations on your new show. A couple lines from the Bee Gees song, words come to mind. You think that I don't even mean a single word I say. It's only words, and words are all I have. And not to your heart in this case. He's taking our brains away. Yeah. I mean, it actually requires some critical thinking here. And Donald Trump does not require critical thinking of his followers, and they apparently have abandoned themselves to the mega cult, and they don't even think about what they're saying. They just go, hooray, hooray, hooray. Here's Donald Trump. And, I mean, that's what people have done in the past for dictators like Hitler and Franco and Mussolini, and that And we might not think that Trump is planning going to do all this stuff, but you get put him back in power, he will do that. He will have no problem ordering the brown shirts out to round up immigrants and do it as bloody a way they can do it. And if you stand in their way, he'll have no problem, you know, taking out American citizens.
Yeah, it's
sorry
it's,
to have to say that, but
no, I hear you, man. And he's been, thank you for the call. He's been very clear about it. He literally said the term like bloody. It'll be bloody. I'm like, what bloody? What are you talking about? And it is. You know, it's really up to us. Certainly it's up to the voters. If you're a Trump supporter, you know, why are you a Trump supporter? I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, policy and immigration and building the walls and those kinds of things. Oh, okay. And those are topics we can certainly discuss. But if you're talking about being a dictator for a day, if you're talking about a massive roundup, who's going to do it? How's it going to do it? How are you going to tell if someone's a citizen or not a citizen? You know, show me your papers. You know, that sounds very East Germany-ish to me, Earl. Show me your papers. It doesn't, but it's on us, Earl. It's on us. Because we would never allow someone like that to sit in the studio with us and just ramble like that and get away. No, man, no, that's not okay, Mr. Trump. You didn't answer the question. What policies are you going to do? What is your specific legislation you're going to support? How about that? Where's the follow-up? Hold him. And then at the same time, we got to hold not just Trump, because Trump's going to be Trump. Oh, man, it's the voters. It's the conservatives. You know, if this is what you believe, then you answer the question. You think Donald Trump's going to fix the border? What legislation? Because he poo-pooed that one. You think Donald Trump's going to lower costs for child care? Well, what legislation can you point to? Because your guy can't. Apparently, it's very important. Make America great again. We'll take care of our people first. Great. Great idea. How about the child care? Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Our pal Earl Ingram. Your calls next, 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines open. Going there shortly. 855-752-4842. Also on the text line. Yes, I read the text. I got a multitask nowadays, man. Couple of notables here. Linda from Middleton. Thank you. Hannibal Lecter was in an asylum. The migrants are seeking asylum. Trump does not know the difference. He is not a person of intelligence. Hey, no one said you had to be smart to run for president.
If they did, I mean, he just proved them all.
He's got very smart family members, you know, that taught somewhere.
He's a very stable genius, remember.
How could we possibly forget? The stable genius in Wisconsin, gracing us with his intelligence, also said this, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Trump claims he's been more indicted than Al Capone. You know, he's the ultimate criminal. I don't know, man. You're doing a hell of a job yourself these days, Trump. I got indicted more than him. My parents are up there. They're great people. They're looking down at me now. I can't believe this happened to my son. He's been indicted more than Al Capone.
I had to take a break from reading the transcript at that point because something was melting.
Is that something you want to accentuate and prioritize? Hey, I've been indicted more than Al Capone. Now, I don't know if that's true. I mean,
it's not.
Okay.
For the record.
It's not. Okay.
It's
thank
not.
You. Even the 34 convictions?
Even with the 34 convictions, I believe Capone has more. I'll go check my sources
on that.
All
right, I appreciate that. Either way, still kind of a strange thing to talk about at your political rally when you want people to vote for you for the presidency to tell them all, I've been indicted four crimes and convicted 34 times so far, than Al Capone, which apparently is also not correct. But it kind of goes to the same thought. He was outside, Earl, trying to get his defamation case overturned, E. Jean Carroll. And he went on and on and on about, you know, these assaults that he didn't commit while on the airplane. And basically given the old, well, it's not my type. Look at her. It's not my type. I think he said specifically, she wouldn't be the one, you know, the chosen one for Donald Trump as a defense.
To molest.
To molest. To abuse. You know, as he's trying to, what, get his conviction for molesting and abusing and, you know, what, adjudicated rape? Republicans, can't you do better?
Well, so people don't hold them to a higher standard. And so when you don't hold a person to a higher standard, especially a person that you think should be the president of the United States, he gets away with the stuff that he's saying because they don't hold him to a higher standard.
But why would they hold him to a lower standard than themselves or their spouses or their family or their friends? They allow, I mean, this rolling around in the mud, totally acceptable for my president who has the nuclear football. Totally fine for them. But if anyone else did that, they'd have a big problem. They have a big problem with all the things that the Dems do. I mean, the things that they're saying, literally the guy said, Trump's talking about that the kids are in school and getting gender surgeries in school. I mean, are you kidding me? The way you guys are freaking out about walls providing school lunches to kids and breakfast and whatnot, and you freak out about that, you think literally like people are in school getting gender surgery? This is what he says. Or, you know, the abortion, early abortion. You know, they kill them after they're born. It's the 10th month.
Maybe, you know, Tony mentioned something in the text, no one is going bankrupt more times than me. They're right. Republicans have gone after Democrats who filed for bankruptcy.
Sure. Yeah.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
You're absolutely right.
They filed bankruptcy. That should disqualify them. They filed bankruptcy, except for him. Right? I mean, where I come from, that's kind of called a hypocrite.
You have to have shame.
I know.
You know, those, you get it. I mean, I get it, man. The biggest crime for me always, man, was the hypocrisy. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what we're talking about. If you stand up and espouse a particular belief and then you're just a total hypocrite about it when it comes down to it, you, number one, you're a hypocrite. And if you had shame, you would try not to be that way. But it also goes to your credibility. It goes to who you are. Can people believe you? When you say that your moral, this is your basis for your morality, and then you just discard it, you know, the first sign of the guy who allows you to hate the right people, it makes me wonder whether or not that same issue that comes with Trump now goes on to the Trump supporters. I don't want to be like that, man. I mean, I want to understand. I just don't.
You know, you talked about hypocrite is not a badge of honor. Right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they changed the words, the definition of words like woke and other stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Maybe they're changing the definition of what a hypocrite is.
Yep.
But a hypocrite has never been something that you walk around with your head held high. Except for now.
Except for now. He has allowed it to happen and they have embraced it. Once again, 855-752-4842. Let's get back to some of the callers. Cam, little favorite from Appleton. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
Congrats on the show.
Thanks,
Dom.
Man. Appreciate it.
This is not a problem with your show title. It's more of a problem with me. I'm dyslexic, so I kept reading saliva.
Me too. it happens, man. I've been hearing that my whole life.
Oh, that's not, I'm sorry, man, but every time he mentions Hannibal Lecter, I think of Ted Levine sitting in the mirror as Buffalo Bill putting the makeup on. It pisses me off because I see him do the stupid dance in the mirror. I can't handle imagining that in my head anymore.
The Silence of the Lambs dance. You think Trump does that when he's all by himself? You know, just the
I don't want to think about that. I don't want that mental image.
Melania watch.
Cam, we're going to end it right there because we all have a burning image in our mind right now that is just...
I need the brain bleach.
That's tough. That's a tough one. Thanks for calling me. I appreciate it. Once again, 855-752-4842. Let's keep going. Tom from Beaver Dam. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm pretty much a left-leaning person, but I would like to know where you get your facts that most all of the workers that work on the farms in Wisconsin are illegal immigrants. I personally know small business and farmers that have Spanish people milking their cows, and they're all legal.
I'm sure lots of them are, Tom. Voces de la Frontera and some of their groups that did the studies specifically identified that, number one, the majority of dairy labor in the state of Wisconsin are immigrants, and the majority of those are undocumented. So Google it, man. Voces de la Frontera. So let's assume a large percentage, if not a majority, Tom, even a large percentage. What do you think would happen if all those folks all of a sudden just got deported? What would happen to the labor on the farm? What would happen in those local farms?
Well, it'd be disastrous. I'm just challenging your comment that they are a whole bunch of illegals, and I've never seen that anywhere. And I personally know some fairly large dairy farmers and some small business owners that spend a lot of money getting visas, work visas, for their workers.
No, I'm sure that's the case, Tom. The other side of that too, and thank you for the call. Again, look it up, Voces de la Frontera. I forget what the study was, but it's been a topic of conversation because when they do their Days Without Latinos and Latinas here in the state, I mean, that's a big, those farms closed down. There's, 20,000 people marching early. And the other side of it's not just a matter of having the proper documentation. I mean, a lot of folks come up with, fraudulent Social Security numbers. So you can have the quote unquote right paperwork with a wrong Social Security number and have them be quote unquote on the books and taking taxes out of their paychecks, but they're not that person. They're never going to tap back into getting the benefit of the Social Security and the Medicare. That's just cost of doing business. But we appreciate your perspective, Tom. 855-752-4842. David from Mequon. Welcome, David. What do you got for us?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I think the part that frustrates me is, and Earl always brings this word up, politics.
Politics.
And I agree with Earl.
Yeah.
Yeah, politics. And the one thing is this, just run on what you actually believe on and don't run on something that, you're just doing it to get elected and then you change your position. And so I guess the frustrating part for me is that with Harris, she is pretty much, when she ran for, presidency back, in 2020, and she dropped out even before the first ballots came out, because she got destroyed on the debate stage with Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, that's it. That's a matter of opinion, David, but please continue.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, she did drop out after that. She didn't continue.
Oh, sure, man. How many people were running, dude? They had it was quite a group of people running, yeah. David. Okay, yeah. So fair enough. Do you apply that same criticism to the Republicans, to your guy Donald Trump, even those down the ticket?
I think at the end of the day, the politicians are not being honest with us and what they really are trying to accomplish or what they're trying to do. They'll say, they'll say maybe the right things and do the right or whatever, say that. But then when push comes to shove,
I don't know, man. Listen, David, I hear what you're saying. As a general rule, I would say, yeah, we can stereotype and make that claim. But did you hear Donald Trump's response about what specific legislation he would endorse to reduce the cost of childcare? Did you hear that 2-minute and 5-second response?
That was a debacle word salad.
And it's not the first time he said that, man. He talks about Hannibal Lecter. He talks about sharks and electrocution. I mean, I don't even know. I get it that, we'd like to have, politicians that stick to their policies and get elected on. What the hell is Trump even talking about, man? We can't even talk about policy with Donald Trump. Do you know? And even so, even if we interpret David that he's going to raise tariffs and that's going to somehow raise so much money that we're not going to have to work. Do you believe that even if we interpret what he said into raising tariffs, that somehow is going to solve the problem? Do you think that would solve the problem?
No, it would not solve the problem.
David, so help me out, man. I really want to understand. I mean, it'd be hard to have this guy next to you at the bar at happy hour. It'd be hard to have him as an uncle, sitting around the Thanksgiving. Man, it's getting to be fall. It's kind of smelled like fall a little bit this weekend. Why would you support someone like that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I do look at the world we're living in today, and we do have multiple wars going on, which are getting exponentially worse. And I do think, you know, people aren't.
When you say we, I mean, obviously U.S. troops are not engaged.
The American people, like Ukraine has kind of disappeared into the woodwork. I mean, it's not really talked about, but that is getting really.
So foreign policy is a big concern for you, David. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And so when Donald Trump stood next to Putin in Helsinki and denied the intelligence agency's assessment that, yes, absolutely, Russia was trying to impact the election for the favor of Donald Trump, do you think that was a great foreign policy move, or did that make us look weak?
Well, from what I understand, that was debunked as far as, you know, the whole Russia thing.
What? No, it's not. No, bipartisan Senate panel as well. I mean, I know he says, you know, Russia, 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 the Mueller report, half that stuff's blacked out, man. They couldn't get a lot of the information, David, because they were using encrypted communications. David, I don't think Donald Trump is any sort of genius when it comes to our foreign policy whatsoever. In fact, I think he's a huge liability. And I think a guy that would abscond with the crown jewels of U.S. intelligence and hoard them at his golf course in Florida is not someone that we can trust. Again, he's already broken that trust, at least for me, David. But I appreciate your call, man. Always. 855-752-4842. The Dom Salvia Show with my friend Earl Ingram Jr. Coming back with more of your calls in just a minute. Give me the night.
So there's a shark 10 yards away from the boat.
And he said, no way. And I said, way.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. 855-752-4842 is the line. Talk or text, we will get you. A couple of the texters are pretty damn funny. I doubt mega types are aware of their hypocrisy. Self-awareness is the antithesis of hypocrisy. So saith Vic. Thank you, Vic. Troy from Mount Horeb. Thank goodness I've never seen Silence of the Lambs. Dave from Mequon is being criticized. All of us are dumber for listening to him. Oh, come on, man. Hey, we got to try. Who was that? To Brian's point. What do you think, Earl, when you hear someone being critical of like Kamala Harris's positions when they're endorsing someone like Donald Trump?
Well, you know, man, I constantly hear people say, and I get it, man. This is what they see on Fox News and others, and they parrot basically what they're hearing. You hear it every day. Well, she changed her mind. There is no law against changing your mind. If I've seen something through a different lens, you know, when I was running for president before, as one of, as you stated, all these untold numbers of people, and I said something, but I've been a vice president now for 4 years, and I see things in a different perspective.
Sure.
Aren't I allowed, you know, to change my mind?
You certainly are. And if it's something that you determine is like literally a better solution than what you previously thought, then you're almost obligated to.
And you welcome people
right.
who are willing to look at themselves and say, oh, I was wrong. I want to change my mind.
I'd be one of those people if I was ever wrong, yeah. Earl.
Well, I see things through a different lens sure. now that I'm the vice president.
Yeah.
than when I was running.
I see things through a different light now. I'm 53 than when I was 23, yeah, man. You know, I mean, it's not just, you know, experience and time and job, man. You know, life is life. Life evolves and new information comes to light, man. You know, and then if we're curious, we're obligated to, you know, certainly explore ourselves, explore the facts, and perhaps if it's justified, come up with a new assessment of whatever the topic might be.
So would you rather have somebody who says, Trump said yesterday, I'm never wrong? Did you see him?
No.
He said this on television. Well, you know, he was at wherever he was, most of me. He said, I'm never wrong.
I'm never wrong.
He said that. And so any person who says, I know everything, a person who says, I'm never wrong, Dominic, then is saying, I know everything.
Right.
You should run as far away from anybody who believes they know it all.
Far and fast.
Yeah.
Far and fast. Man,
it's too much to know for anybody to think they know it all.
And the fact that anyone would actually, like, think that. You know, when we joke, I just said it now. You know, if I was ever, come on, man. You know, I'm joking.
But he's not joking.
No, he's not. So when he says he's never wrong, he believes it. When he says that he'll be a dictator on day one, I believe it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When he talks about these things, I think in many respects, we have to take him for his word. I'm not going to interpret what kind of sense of humor Donald Trump has. He does no humor. I think he's a very, very dangerous man. And it's, I just don't understand, like, people like Dave and our other conservative friends out there.
Smart people.
Smart people, yes. This is not, I don't believe that all the Trump supporters are dumb. I don't believe that for a minute. There's a lot of smart Trump supporters. Sure, I mean, the bell curve exists in everything, man. There's a lot of smart people all the way around on lots of different issues that could be divided politically based on whatever their priorities is in their own head. And I want to give people, you know, breath on that. I totally understand that. But then you have to look at the consistency. I mean, a guy like Donald Trump, I'm going to build the wall, Mexico's going to pay for it. No, they didn't. You know, No, he didn't. He was at a rally, I think, in Waukesha here. And when he actually pulled that wall, it was always, I'm going to build the wall. Then he finally threw in, and Mexico's going to pay for it. I mean, it was like Leslie Nielsen, umpiring in The Naked Gun. Yeah. He's like, strike. And everybody clapped. He was like, yeah, Mexico's going to pay for it. I mean, that was like a thought out policy. I mean, it's difficult. And I think he's getting worse as time goes on.
No question.
In the next hour, one of his truthies, when he talks about going after people, we're going to get to that as well. In the meantime, let's get some of your calls. Kurt from Madtown. Welcome, Kurt. What do you got for us?
Damn, Earl. Critical thinking? That sounds like a wokeism thing.
sounds like a lot of work, Earl.
So, you know, you just said something recently, so I'm going to alter what I wanted to say. Being smart and having critical thinking skills are necessarily the same thing.
Right, I'll agree with that.
You can be smart at applying. You know how to use a knife and a fork and a spoon, and you know how to remove the cap on your milk bottle and pour it in a bowl without over. That's, you know, that's a function of smart and intelligence. It has nothing to do with critical thinking. The problem I have with people like David that call in and other Republicans is, so given everything being equal, let me just see if I understand this. You are perfectly comfortable with electing a rapist and a 34-time felon. You would never have that same rapist and 34-time felon look after your children.
Right.
Or look after your property.
Right.
Or your car.
Right.
Or, you know, operate on you. You would never do that in a million years. Yet they simply cannot get out of their box. They're locked in. And I argue that these individuals lack critical thinking skills. They're incapable of taking all the evidence before them and making a rational choice. They're more comfortable accepting lies and hanging on to it like Linus's blanket. And that's the problem I have.
Thank you, Kurt. Great observation. Earl, your thoughts?
I think that's very well said. I may steal that. I mean, man, he was 100% accurate with that, man. People just totally dismiss rational thinking when it comes to him.
I think in some regards, and again, it depends on who you're talking about, right? If you're talking about, you know, the high ups in the MAGA, in the GOP, you know, operation political party, you know, I think some of those folks that are, you know, Speaker of the House, for example, Mike Johnson, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
There are folks out there that know. Lindsey Graham knows. They know what they're doing. There's a reason that Rhino Dick Cheney has come out and said he's not going to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is so bad, the war criminal won't even vote for the guy. Folks, the Donald Salvia Show with Earl coming back in the Happier Happy Hour. Join us 855-752-4842.
You are a rude, terrible person.